What if I told you that the choices we make today could shape the lives of those who come seven generations after us? And that we are the bridge between our ancestors' resilience and our descendants' future. What I am about to speak this morning, the majority of the words come from Breanne Smith, who hosts a podcast, one that I listened to that was entitled Seven Generations Principle, Healing the Past and Shaping the Future. And I've painted a few of my own words within her words as well. But this presentation explores how healing, accountability, and intentional action can redefine our legacy. The Seven Generations Principle, you may have heard this thrown around perhaps in green marketing campaigns, but its roots go so much deeper than just selling eco-friendly products. This powerful philosophy comes from, now I'm going to have to slow my words down here to pronounce this word correctly, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is also known as the Iroquois Confederacy or the League of Five Nations, which, by the way, is recognized as one of the oldest participatory democracies on earth. And a fun fact, the Great Law of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy is also credited as being a contributing influence on the American Constitution, if you didn't know that. But before I go any further, we need to read our text from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, which hones in on themes of generations, and we need to be aware of that while discovering and discussing the Seven Generations Principle. So hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.'" At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, God, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, God, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my God, and no one knows the Son except the God, and no one knows God except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal God. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Would you pray with me? O gracious God, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray. The words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you, to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The first written concepts of the Seven Generations Principle can be traced back to the Great Law of Peace, with estimates placing its origin between 1142 and 1500 AD. That means that this is not some fleeting trend. This is ancient wisdom with lasting relevance. So what is the Seven Generations Principle? At its core, this principle teaches that the decisions we make today should create a sustainable world for the seven generations that follow. As Oren Lyons, A faith keeper of the Onondaga Nation explains, the Haudenosaunee leaders are guided by the idea that when they sit in council, they must not think only of themselves, their families, or even their immediate communities. Instead, they must consider the well-being of those who will come long after them. And I know that seven generations feels like a long time, but consider this. In your life, if you are able to meet your grandparents, which I remember doing as a child, and you are able to meet your grandchildren one day, that's seven generations. You're right in the middle. If you know your great-grandparents, and if you know your great-grandchildren, you are sandwiched right in the middle of seven generations. But let me put this in numbers for you, okay? Let's just say hypothetically that seven generations means one generation every 25 years. And let's also add hypothetically that the lifespan of a generation is 80 years. The average American lifespan, by the way, is 79 years, okay? So if we start in 1970, the year I was born, then we have a generation every 25 years until the year 2120. Now, if we add 80 years to all of those, it goes all the way to 2200. How many years do we bookend from the first birth to the last death? 230 years. It's kind of eye-opening, isn't it? To understand that our impact could last almost as old as our nation is today. 230 years. It doesn't feel so distant when you realize that you could see seven generations in a lifetime. The actions you take today will impact seven generations to come. The healing, the change-making, the growth, and the protection of our land and resources will all shape their world. The perspective is deeply woven into the Anishinaabe culture as well. As explained by Anton Truer, the Anishinaabe word Anakobijungwan refers to both great-grandparents and great-grandchildren, emphasizing the interconnectedness between both the past and the future. Seven generations bookended in one word. Our ancestors, even in times of hardship, made choices with the next seven generations in mind. They thought about sovereignty and clean water, culture, and language, not for their own immediate benefit, but to ensure that we, their descendants, would have a strong foundation to stand on. And this understanding reinforces that we are not separate from our history or our future. We are a continuation of both. The seven-generation principle reminds us of our deep connection to both our ancestors and future generations. It calls on us to honor those who came before us while recognizing our responsibility to those yet to come. Looking back seven generations, we see a world shaped by colonization, upheaval, a lot of trauma. Experiences that deeply affected our ancestors. Their resilience and wisdom live on in us, shaping who we are today. It's not too dissimilar from the same colonization, upheaval, and trauma experiences we read about in our Gospels. That resilience and wisdom also live on in us, prayerfully shaping us into better people. And today we stand at a defining moment. We have the awareness, the tools, and the strength to heal the wounds of the past and shape a new future. Picture a world seven generations from now, one that looks back on this era as a turning point when we choose to honor history, cultivate unity, and lay the groundwork for respect, equity, and sustainability. This principle isn't just about big political decisions, my friends. It's a way of life impacting every choice we make. This philosophy is deeply relevant in all areas of life. But this morning, I want to focus on some of the most crucial areas, the first being land, water, and sustainability. This is typically the first thing people often associate with the Seven Generations principle. It asks us to consider how we use our natural resources, our water, our land, and our energy, and how that will affect seven generations from now. Will they have clean water, fertile land, a stable climate? This principle reminds us that we are just borrowing earth from future generations. We don't own it. We rent it. Then we pass it on. The second way of life is embedded in relationships and community. The Seven Generations principle extends to our relationships and the ways in which we treat each other. Imagine if every interaction, every decision we made, our personal lives and communities was guided by the question, will this contribute to strong, healthy relationships for generations to come? It challenges us to think beyond the immediate moment and build a legacy of respect, care, and unity. If any of you have ever participated in the community group Rotary International, you know their four principles. And those are similar to this principle. Every decision they make, thinking about how this will impact the people around them. The next part is our healing work and our ability to break cycles. And this is important. It's also an incredible tool for personal and collective healing. You see, generational trauma is real. Harmful patterns that can be passed down if they are left unaddressed. The indigenous people of New Zealand, the Maori, have also similar concepts to the Seven Generations principle. As Maori artist Tawera Tahuri puts it, it serves not only as a reminder of the wrongs of the past, but also the hopes and aspirations of the future seven generations. By actively working to heal now, both as an individual and healing as a collective, we're ensuring that those who come after us inherit a healthier, healed, and more just world. Part four of this is preserving cultural practices and languages. For indigenous communities, keeping cultural traditions, languages, and ceremonies alive is a crucial part of ensuring that future generations can remain connected to their heritage. G. Peter Jameson, a faith keeper of the Katarugus Reservation, Seneca Nation, explains it this way. Everything we have now is the result of our ancestors who handed forth to us our language, the preservation of the land, our way of life, and our songs and dances. So now we will maintain those and carry them on for future generations. The next piece is wisdom and scientific validation, not just of our own, but from the indigenous communities that were here long before us. Interestingly enough, modern science is actually catching up with this ancient wisdom. Research in epigenetics has shown that environmental exposures like toxins, stress, or even diet can have effects passed down for multiple generations. Some studies show impacts extending four or even five generations in animals. While science is still uncovering the full extent of these intergenerational effects, it reinforces what indigenous communities have known for centuries, that our actions today shape the future in ways we may not yet fully understand. So now that we understand the seven generations principle, how do we bring it into our everyday choices? How do we embody this wisdom of generations in a way that creates lasting change? Let me offer you five ways you can start today. First, pause and reflect. Before making decisions, big or small, take a moment to ask yourself, what impact could this have seven generations from now? When we live with this awareness, our choices become more intentional, rooted in responsibility and care. Empathy. Sustainable living. The earth is not just ours, it belongs to those who come after us. Being mindful of our consumption, our energy use, and environmental impact. Choose sustainability not just as an action, but as a way of honoring the youngest of these. Three, community engagement. Change isn't just personal, it's collective. We do this by supporting policies, movements, initiatives that prioritize long-term sustainability, equity, and social well-being. Every action we take ripples outward. Every action. Even though I love her music, renting out an NBA arena for a wedding and building a castle on the inside has an impact. Are we aware of that impact? Congrats, Tay-Tay. Part four is personal growth and healing. The cycles we choose to break today create new possibilities for those who come after us. Healing our personal wounds, addressing ancestral trauma, and doing the work to grow stronger aren't just acts of self-care, they are acts of intergenerational transformation. We are the bridge between the pain of our ancestors and the power of our descendants. Let me say that again. We are the bridge between the pain of our ancestors and the power of our descendants. And lastly, cultural preservation. Our traditions, our languages, and the stories carry the wisdom of those who came before us. The PCUSA just shared this. Over in Milwaukee, the General Assembly, lifting traditions, understanding language and stories, holding the wisdom that came before us, keeping them alive, sharing them, teaching them. It's not just a gift for us, but for those who will inherit it. You see, each of us holds the power to be that shift. Every choice, every moment, every action is an opportunity to build a future that honors the past and strengthens what is to come. And we need to make that count. Because on the flip side, ignoring our impact means repeating cycles of harm, perpetuating environmental destruction, deepening systemic injustices, passing down unhealed trauma. If we choose inaction, future generations will inherit the consequences of our neglect, forced to bear the weight of problems we refused to address. This isn't about guilt or feeling overwhelmed. It's about empowerment. Recognizing our role as caretakers of the future gives us agency to shape a better world. As Rick Hill Sr. of the Tuscarora Nation beautifully stated, we inherit a duty, a responsibility, to work hard so that the future can enjoy the benefits of a healthy planet in a thriving society. Even Thomas Jefferson, in his famous letter to Samuel Kirchhoff, internalized, by the way, in his memorial in Washington, D.C., wrote in 1816 these words, I am not an advocate for frequent changes in laws and constitutions, but laws and institutions must go hand in hand with the progress of the human mind. We might as well require a man to wear still the coat which fitted him when he was a boy as a civilized society to remain ever under the regiment of their barbarous ancestors. Jefferson was thinking generationally. And even before that letter in 1789, he also wrote to James Madison these words, I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another. Generational thinking. We stand at a pivotal moment. We have the awareness. We have the tools, the power to heal the wounds of the past and redefine the future. Imagine a world seven generations from now, one that looks back on our time as the turning point when we choose to acknowledge history, foster unity, and build a foundation of respect, equality, and sustainability. We are the change we've been praying for. The responsibility and opportunity are in our hands. So with gratitude for our ancestors and hope for future generations, with the wisdom and faith we have grown with, we have the power to create a legacy of healing and transformation. Today, let's choose to make those decisions. In the weeks and months that follow, that will echo positively through the next seven generations and beyond, it's a profound way to honor the past, to live with purpose in the present, and build a brighter future for those to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.